Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
I'm pleased to say we've got Councillor Phil Jordan in. How you doing, Phil?
Ian, hello. Great, good to be here, good to see you. Such a lovely day you've invited me in as well. The sun's shining, it's bright, it's warm. Fantastic, we're doing good.
It's great to see you, you're looking well.
You too, well thank you. I've got a little bit, well, we've all got a little bit of a suntan, haven't we? It does help.
Oh, it's dirt in my case.
Yeah.
So, Phil, I've got lots to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And I know that we'll touch on the floating bridge a little bit later on.
Yeah.
One thing I sort of noticed, obviously, we should point out, you represent Ryde.
I do. Ryde North West.
So you would know all about the
interchange?
The interchange,
I do know quite a bit.
Tell me about this interchange thing then, because this is going to be huge for Ryde, isn't it?
Well, I hope so. I hope it's going to be a huge improvement. It's about £10 million coming into that scheme. Three projects within the scheme. It's part of a bigger scheme that's over in the over on the mainland in Portsmouth. So it's £56 million in total. About 25 projects within the overall scheme. The island is the Ryde interchange, so we've got the pier, we've got the actual interchange, and we've got station. So three separate projects, about 10 million in total going into that. So we've started some work already with active travel ways, so cycle lanes. That's a new terminology, active travel. Get on your bike, you know. So we started.
Sorry, sounding like Norman Tebbit.
Yeah, so, yeah, oh, heavens. only be a certain age group that will remember that, Ian. But I mean, yeah. So that's what it's called now, active travel. So we're building this cycle lane along the Esplanade, along the front, new pavements and stuff. The work to the pier entry and exit will start right at the beginning of September. And the station slightly after that. We're still working on designs for the station.
It's all good then. It's all coming along because, you know, it's. I lived there for about 10 years, and you know, since then we say, oh, it's the gateway to the Isle of Wight, and people used to sort of make comments about, you know, if it's the gateway, why does it look so messy? But that was a few years back. It's really beginning to take shape now, isn't it?
Well, it is, and that's, you know, that's a substantial sum of money, £10 million that's going in. We did try it once before. You remember that? I think it's 2009. We sent money back from the DFT when we couldn't quite agree on the designs for it. You might have even remember seeing some of the big canopy over the front. We couldn't risk sending that money back. So look, all these things are problematic. All the decisions we make are never single binary choices. They're all fors and against. But ultimately, and it's part of a bigger development in Ryde, which I can talk to you about. £10 million will spruce up the station quite a bit. It will put in a new walkway up the pier, and the on and off is the cars on and off the pier will be a much better situation. And in front of the pier, in front of the station, rather, there'll be open spaces and new retail units and cafes in the station. Buses will go sideways on. So one of the issues we had to do was, I won't go into too much detail, but we had to get the buses going up George Street. And to do that, we had to move the entry and exit point, put lights in, so the buses can exit straight away up George Street.
Brilliant.
But they won't be going face onto the sea in future and then reversing out, because that was problematic. We didn't have any accidents that I can recall and remember, but buses reversing is not good.
No.
In areas where people are walking. So anyway, they go side on. So we're capturing a lot more space, about 1,500 square metres of space in total, public space, public realm. Buses will be side on. They'll turn right on the lights. The lights will only be triggered when a bus tries to exit. So they'll be on green for the traffic and pedestrians.
It sounds good. It sounds promising. It sounds really positive.
Yeah.
It really does. You mentioned a pier. What's happening with the pier? Because I did read something about, you know, the pier's falling down or whatever, and someone was going to close it for an amount of months. What's the real deal there?
Yeah, no, so that's about right. They've inspected it. It was always due for an inspection, but they inspected it to see what work would be needed. So the centre where the old tramway is will become boarded, or half boarded at least, half the width boarded. But when they were inspecting, they worked out that they've got to do some repair work. This is for the rail network and South Western Train, so it's entirely separate.
So will the pier be closed total, or will it be one side be open and while the work's done?
Yeah, no, what will happen is, and I think they're going to start this work fairly quickly, is that the trains will stop at the Esplanade again.
Okay.
Interestingly, is another thing, because I talk about, all my colleagues laugh when I mention this one little word, right? Well, it's two words, but it's down to one word. We'll get it down to a single letter probably soon. But it's called Dotto, the Dotto train. So we, Rye Town Council, are desperate to get a Dotto train back. We're working on that right now. We've got a consultant coming to talk to us about how we can do it, where we source a vehicle and so on, a Dotto train. Whitelink have already expressed their interest in us running the Dotto train up and down the pier. So I don't know whether that's going to happen. But
will that alleviate the problem that it might arise?
Well, it might, mightn't it?
Yeah, no, it sounds common sense to me.
So.
And let me tell you, Phil, I was at the county show a couple of weeks, well, last weekend,
yeah.
Not the weekend, last weekend, and I couldn't understand what the interest was with getting on a bus. Okay, this is what they did. It was a kind of an open-top bus. They'd get on the bus and they would drive around the site, and they'd have their own little bus stop, and then you do one round, you get off, and then loads of other people get. This was packed, and this went on all day. So Dotto train, people would love it, and it would work, and secretly it's going to alleviate the issues, isn't it?
Could do. But anyway, so it's interesting. I've been bashing on about this forever. I think there's a sweepstake in the council now. It's how long into the meeting they're all got bets before I mention the word Dotto train. I think there's a winner at every meeting, so I get it in straight away now. When I, any declarations, no Dotto train, I'm in.
How great. I mean, I say I lived in Ryde in the 1990s, and I brought up a young kid and loved it, absolutely loved it. And since then, we go back and we think, crikey, there's bits here, this has been added, that's there now. You know, there's a few things taken away, but it's beginning to really take shape, isn't it?
So, well, thank you for saying that, Ian, because at the town council, more so than the Isle of Wight council, we've had a period, years, and we've had COVID in between, wasn't helpful, but we're working so hard to improve our seafront and our town. You know, we're buying up some of the buildings. We've got projects to bring them back into community use, Fectus Hall, St Thomas's Church. We're going to put a youth service in there. These are ongoing projects, and we looked at designs last night, interestingly. Town Hall we're still working on. We've had a number of high-profile people come and visit the Town Hall, talk to us about seriously becoming involved. That's ongoing. We bought the marina. We're investing in the marina. We've taken over Eastern Gardens. We're putting on, as you probably noticed, free events over the summer, music and stuff like that. Yeah, we're really having a go at trying to improve our community in Ryde.
No, that's brilliant. It really is. It's promising. And I say, the last time we came in, I think you just purchased the Ryde Theatre. So
we haven't bought that yet.
Did you just put an offer in or something at that particular time? So it's not yours yet then?
It's not ours yet, but I have an agreement with the owner that they will sell it to us at Rye Town Council.
Okay, that's
brilliant.
That
doesn't mean say the council will be the owner, but they will sell it to us. So it'll probably be in a community trust or a property trust or something.
Something else that I read this morning, and I was quite surprised. I mean, the Barclays Bank is what's the deal there? Are they like relocating
this is a trend that's happening right across the country. The bank, as we move into you, I don't know if you do it, Ian, I do it. I've got my banking on my phone. Apart from, I can't, if you've got retail businesses want to deposit cash, it's problematic. But otherwise, we're doing everything on our phones. And, of course, banks are not getting the staff, people through the doors. And we're seeing closures, unfortunately. It's
So what will they go to a smaller premises or?
Here's an interesting thing, Ian. They've closed, or they're closing the branch. There's a planning application to deal with the actual property, but we've just rented Barclays Bank some space in the town council offices because they need a presence in the town. So there you go. It's a bit cheaper for them to rent an office space off us.
All right, okay, but I mean, have they closed or are they? Is that?
I think it's September, isn't it? I can't remember the exact day. I remember seeing it that it was intended to close. Okay. I may be wrong, but I think it's September.
Okay,
I mean, be corrected on
that. I'm now a Newport boy, and obviously one of the biggest bones of contention of living in Newport was the parking, and of course now we're getting that some of it free. So
you're getting an hour's free in Newport. See if it, you know, helps to generate people and the confidence to come and park the car up and
walk. It's been a while now. Is it working?
I haven't got any data back yet.
Right.
It's tough to get data. You hope the isn't it? You know, you hope the businesses and the small business owners say, look, you know, things are improving, but we'll have to wait and see. We're running it for a year anyway, so it's whether it's working or not, we're going to do it for a year. There are plans, as you know, to change the high street, or maybe you don't know. So some build outs, try and turn over some of the space, not preventing cars and vehicles going down it, but making that less important and the pedestrian area more important. That's a move across the UK as well, trying to give over towns.
A lot of people are doing that, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, it just, to me, it makes absolute sense to do so. So yeah, good luck with that. And let's be honest, what you just said then about the data, you need a good year's data, don't you? You need to go through a summer and a winter
seasons.
And so
exactly,
on.
Exactly, yeah. Ian.
Just to see if it works or not. So I'm guessing that was in about sort of April, May time. So maybe at some point this time next year, we'll have some data and some figures and be able to plan. Plan ahead, so to speak.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it again. Absolutely.
Do you want to just get the elephant out, elephant in a room out of the way?
Let's, go on then, which one's
that? let's do
I've
that.
I've got a herd of elephants in my portfolio.
Yeah, have you? let's deal with one of them. Probably the biggest one, the floating bridge.
Oh,
what's
the baby
latest?
Elephant.
Oh,
one.
Is it? Well, tell me what the big one is then. What's the big daddy one then?
Probably the PFI still.
But, oh, right. Really?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I mean, I'm
joking a bit. The floating bridge is a big issue. Absolutely is. I'm kind of half joking. But the PFI is still ongoing issues. We've still got ongoing issues.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, the floating bridge would be quite quick because I think what I can say to you, Ian, is that we are... very confident and close to a resolution of the dispute between us and the other parties involved. I probably can't say much more on that because there's nothing finalised, and no doubt there'll be commercial sensitivity when it is finalised, but we are very close.
You can't ruin any deal by talking about it now.
Well,
so.
if there is a non-disclosure agreement, if there is, you absolutely can't talk about it because the money can go back if there's any money involved or whatever you agree. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I had this idea this morning. I'm pretty sure other people have had this idea as well. And you just look at it and think, right, okay, you've got a stretch of water there that's always been problematic. Let's be honest. It's the tides, it's the currents, it's, timings and so on. And you just think, if we come down the road a bit and had a proper bridge... You know, I was just thinking, we got a bridge at Wootton. We've had it there since. No one questions it, do they? Okay, it got redone a few years back because bits of it were falling away. But, you know, you just think something like that, quick and simple, job done.
And expensive.
Is it? Would it be expensive?
Quick, simple and expensive. Not that quick. Not that simple. You've got high-masted yachts that go up to Newport Harbour. Getting a lift on that is quite difficult. Costs probably 30 million, something like that, that in that order. And you could, I suppose, if you were objective, say it's not, still not tying up the two communities of Cowes and East Cowes at that key point. Look, the thing about the floating bridge, and let's put a couple of things to bed. Since it's been back, mechanically, it's been running not far short of 100%. We've had staff issues in the last couple of weeks, staff off. We tried to rearrange shifts, tried to get people's work patterns so that we can cover all of the operating time. It hasn't been possible. We've had to, last Wednesday we had to close it, Saturday we had to reduce the hours. But these are staffing issues, right? They're not helpful to anyone, but they're not the bridge itself. Mm. And since the work was done on the bridge and since it came back from the inspection, we've more or less had 100% actual operating 2 hours time, believe it or not. But the narrative you'll hear is, oh, it's never working, of course. It's just not true.
Yeah, but that's what people do. They moan and they groan and they don't want to check. And, yeah, it must be frustrating. But the facts are, like anything, not just the floating bridge, but I would imagine if you look at Southern Vectis, you look at Red Funnel, you look at Hover Travel, you look at all the other people that get on and off the island with ferries and trains and so on, they've all been hit with the last 2 years, and they're all going through a situation now. It's like the numbers are going up. So what's the decent thing? They're off work, and unfortunately that comes at a cost. And you know, we just got to deal with it, because that's unfortunately that we can't do anything else. You don't want to be saying to these people, look, don't care whether you got COVID or not, get yourself into work. No, that's not what people want. But it's just about giving somebody a bit of time, a bit of respect, and just saying, hey, look, we understand you got, you know, staffing issues because of people got COVID, people got this and so on. Yeah. And I just think, yeah, sometimes we like to moan before we actually, before we actually think about things and how they all work.
Maybe. And look, it's been a source of frustration. It's no sense, the repairs that we've done, we've almost, bear in mind, it's just a skip with an engine in it. That's effectively what a floating bridge, what it is. It's a skip.
Can we rename it?
Yeah, the skip.
Skippy.
Yeah, Skippy. Yeah. Slow Skippy. So we've replaced the motors, we've replaced the shafts, we've replaced the angle of the ramps. All of the working stuff on that floating bridge has been replaced. And so far, it's you know, maintained a decent service. If you were to take a look at it and say, is it the right vessel there? The answer is probably it's not. It's too big. We should probably have thought about the old size vessel where it's shuttled back and forward. So you have two lanes instead of three. We effectively don't use a third lane anyway on this, but even if we do, you get one or two vehicles on it. It's slowed down. It's held in the high tide on Equinox and the other high tides in the month by the push boat. It's unsatisfactory. The boat's too long. Chains get pulled too high in the water. That impedes other vessels trying to get past. And you'd have probably built it differently. You'd have built it smaller. You'd have probably built it out of aluminium. And you probably have built it either on a pulley system, or with or without motors, and you build it electric. I mean, this is what we should have been doing in from the outset.
Okay. Well, when the word comes out and judgment is made and so on, you'll come back and tell us all about it anyway, can't you?
I'll tell you about it. If we buy a new one, I'll tell you all about it straight away. I'll be telling everyone about it.
All right, then. So the other elephant in the room, then, is the... Because this is interesting, the PFI thing, you think, it was 25 years, and you think, it'll be forever. Yeah. That'll be forever. And it's, I mean, what are
year
we...
Right. We must 13. Be... 13.
2013?
1st of April 2013, so where we are, first 9 years already.
So 10 years next year.
Yeah.
I mean, that went by quickly.
Well...
didn't it? I mean, let's be honest.
Drag by, as they say.
Well, there was a lot of things that needed doing, and I'll be honest with you. I look at the roads now. I don't travel on all of them, but I mean, from what I can make out, the roads are far superior than where they were a few years back. So, what is the deal now then? Because people have sort of said about, oh yeah, but this, oh yeah, all the negative stuff. I'm just seeing the positives. The positives are we've got this. You know, the road system now is now far better than it was.
So, we're constantly told by cyclists and cycle clubs, and it's no coincidence that the Tour of Britain have decided to come to the Isle of Wight. We're being told constantly by those people, we've got some of the best roads in the country. When you drive round, you think, yeah, there are some great roads here. This is lovely. There are some that are not quite so good. But so, you know, judgment's out on that a bit. But what have we intervened on? About 600 kilometres of our roads. And there are, 812 kilometres of roads on the island. So we've actually intervened and resurfaced and or rebuilt in certain cases, but mostly resurfaced around 600 kilometres of that. So those roads have been done. If they are failing, and there are some places where they're failing, Great Preston Road in Rye is an example, where there's sinkage in the road, they'll be put right because that's a contractual obligation. But yeah, I mean, generally the roads are a bit better. And of course, now what you'll get, because this is what better surface roads give you, is the clamour for reducing speeds because people drive faster on them. Because they don't make
that
so much noise, it feels safer, and they pick up speed. This is an interesting. There might even be a correlation there, thinking about it.
There's a couple of roads. Is it on the industrial estate? They're still not being done yet. How can we find out when the roads are going to be done? So if people are interested in, this one's still a bit iffy. I mean, most of them are fine. Most of the roads that I use, but there are a couple of on the industrial estate. So when can we check, see whether they are going to be done?
Well, we're just doing a monthly now. It used to be that's finished the core investment period. So it's now maintenance only. So if they haven't been done, it's because they didn't meet the contractual criteria for resurfacing at the time.
Right. Okay.
It's an issue.
All right. Okay. Well, what's this space
issue
then
that I'm dealing with?
I've got an idea.
Yeah.
I was in the car the other day. The wife was driving.
Yeah.
Okay. And she was getting the ump with other people because they were, you know, driving a little bit urgent because she was giving way to horses. Other people were getting a bit frustrated.
Okay, yeah.
A lot more horses on the roads these days. And I said that thing just to irritate. And anybody that is horse-minded, I'm only saying this to wind you up. I don't actually mean what I'm saying. So I say, they got enough fields. Why can't they use the fields? Okay? To which my wife bit, and she said, oh, yeah, but it's all about the bridleways. And if they want to get from a field to a certain field, they've got to go on the roads. And I said, well, wouldn't it be nice if some of the certain farmers who had certain fields sort of made the inside of their fields at the bottom somewhere where they didn't have to go on the main roads, they could actually continue the bridleways? Because that would keep everybody safer. It would stop people getting irate behind the wheel. I very rarely drive, so it doesn't bother me, and I'm quite happy. I've got a 5-minute drive in the morning, that's it. I don't get stressed at all. But it's other people that get a bit, you know, they have the ump when horses slow them down, and I just think, well, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be on the road, but what I am saying is on certain roads, especially Forest Road. You know, I've been up there a few times. You can't overtake on certain areas. And you're just saying, OK, they've got to get from one field to another. They've got to use the road. Can't we improve the bridleways, even if it means just eating into a bit of a field at the bottom of some farmer's field? That makes sense, doesn't it?
Listen, absolutely. How we find the money and get the farmers to agree, it's stage two. But
Just ask them nicely.
The idea,
look, you care about horses. Let me just have the bottom of your field so we can just sort of run the horses through there.
Have you not come up against cyclists? Because I think we're getting more and more cyclists on the main road slowing traffic down. But there we go.
No, I don't. It's mainly.
You have to get out a Newport a bit in.
Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I'll get a nosebleed. Maybe I should. Maybe I will this afternoon. I'll take a little drive out of town.
Go to Wootton.
I'm frightened I might
have
run
a weekend out in Wootton.
I'm frightened I might run out of petrol on the way. Anyway, is that your jurisdiction? Is that something that you can take?
Rights away are Jonathan Bacon, actually.
Oh, he's in next week.
Yeah, ask him about
it. I'll have a word with him. I'll have a word with him. He's in next Wednesday.
Have a row with him. R-O-W. Rights away.
I'll pin him to the. I'll ask him the question next week.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. But we're still on. Are we still on? You know, 25 years for PFI. Is that still going to happen?
We got what's left of the maintenance period. So as you say, 9. So what we got? 16 years left.
Then what happens then?
Ah, that is a very good question.
All right.
That's a very good question, because that probably wasn't thought through entirely when we had all the build-up in the years before the start of the contract and the contract award, because we've got no highways department left. There's no one. We've got the premises up at Dashway, but we've got no people, no staff. They were all transferred to Island Rose. Now, they might come back but we've got we probably need 8 years, I would say 5 to 8 years before the end of that to start planning post-PFI. Definitely. It's serious. I mean, we can laugh and smile about it, but it's serious.
Well I'm not, because that's why I asked the question. I'm just thinking, wow, okay, because we know how quick the last 9 years have gone, and that'll just rattle by, and, you know, you just think, okay, what's the plan? And it's interesting you say that department doesn't exist anymore because it's part of the PFI. So obviously, in 5, 6 years, we need to start thinking about it?
Exactly, we've got to start planning for it. Are we going to repeat that exercise in terms of, it wouldn't be a PFI exactly, but do you go out to the market and the civil engineering market and say tender for maintenance of our roads? You could do that. Or do we rebuild our highways team? You could do that.
Wow. That's kind of a worry, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, this is at a time when our funding and our finances are stripped bare and continue to be stripped each year. To find this money to deliver the aspirations that we've got, and that's us being our community and our island, is real tough. It's real, real tough.
Is it a similar situation to what the country's been in for X amount of years? Like, we don't own anything. It's like the council. I mean, years and years ago, I'm pretty sure they supplied the people to collect the rubbish and all the other jobs, the roads. They did the roads, they did the maintenance, they did all of this, and now that's been kind of sold off. The family silver's been, oh, well, you're doing that now, so, and you're not part of the council, you just work with us.
Ian, you're absolutely right. That was the drive. There are one or two local authorities around the country that are trying to reverse that and bringing services back in-house, but others have been down the same journey and forced into going out into the commercial market to deliver their services. It's right across the country. It's not just this island. Far from it. And that's been the travel. That's been the journey and the direction of travel for local authorities. Because, this can be complicated and complex, because it seems at first pass it's cheaper to put it out to the commercial market, get them to tender and compete with one another, and you have not all the administration and overheads that come with providing service direct. But as we've seen with the PFI, the commercial companies are interested in delivering for their shareholders and generating profits, and the local authority is more interested in delivering better services, and there is a conflict between the two aspirations.
Wow. So you're obviously saying, okay, when we get to year
2026, 2027,
we need to be thinking about the next bit. And seriously thinking about the next bit.
Absolutely.
Because it takes a bit of time to put in place.
Absolutely, yeah.
What I mean, that's kind of it's not worrying me, but because you know you've got time. But what worries me is that, okay, what are we going to do in the meantime? And, you know, is there something in the diary that is set for people, knowing full well that that department that used to be in the council that would is no longer exists? So who's that down to? Is that down to councillor that's in?
It will be the administration, the senior corporate team of the Isle of Wight Council, much as it is now with a cabinet and your administration, the senior leaders of the council, the senior staff and officers, chief exec and directors, making a decision about, I guess, fundamentally, do we deliver this service directly by a council or are we unable to do that? And I think once you've taken that decision, then you know what it is you have to do. So then it's out to, do we work in partnership with providers? You know, there's some obvious civil engineering providers on the island that could and would do this work. In fact, they subcontract to Island Roads already. And you could do that. You'd probably have to abide by procurement rules, so you'd have to tender. You build in your carbon footprint in the tender document so that it's easier for island companies to tender and harder for mainland or your international companies to tender. And once you've made that decision, that's where you go, and that they would be the council's highways team.
Wow. So, I mean, those people that are working at Island Roads, are they sitting on a time bomb or can they tender? Can they be part of the next setup?
Who? Our team? Council team?
Well, no, the people that work for Island Roads.
Well,
they don't work for the council, do they? Work for Island Roads.
They work for Island Roads.
Are they sitting on a time bomb with a job? Or can their management team tender for the same role again for the next 25 years?
They absolutely can tender. Whether they will or not is another matter. The Island Road, it's a parent company to Island Roads. Island Roads are just the subcontractor. Our contract's with a company called Island Roads Services Limited.
Right.
Island Roads, although it's owned by the Eurovia conglomerate, as it were, are a subcontractor. They subcontract as well to some of our island companies.
Right.
I won't mention them, but we know them and you've seen them around. Island Roads have just secured a large contract on the mainland, and probably four or five times the size of the Isle of Wight. And whilst that's now and not in 10, 12, 15 years' time, they may not have the appetite to continue here. We won't know till the time comes, will we, Ian? We won't know.
Right, okay. I mean, I'm not worried, but I'm looking over my shoulder thinking, wow, crikey, in 20, whatever it is, I'm thinking, well, what is it? Something would be in place, won't it?
Well, I guess if you look at it like this, rather than the specific of whether they're employed by Island Roads or the council or another contractor, we need the capacity that Island Roads have in terms of staffing and equipment or rest is sufficient, we hope, to deliver what's required for our highways department on this island. That demand won't change, so whether the people are employed by Island Roads or AN Other or the council, we will still need that skill, experience, knowledge and background.
Sure.
We would hope they say, well, let's hope most of the people who work at Island Roads actually live on the island, certainly up to senior management level anyway, and are committed and part of our community here and you know, want to stay here with their families and their lives here and find work. So the work would be, if they're in civil engineering, is a job for you. We were talking about earlier about jobs and the amount of jobs on the island, weren't there? And
yeah, I've been saying this for a while, you know, and it's just one of my irritations that every month we'll get something from the Office of National Statistics and they'll tell us that there are somewhere in the region of 3,000 people that are unemployed here on the island. And then you think, Yeah, but there's how many jobs? And we asked leader of the council, Laura PC Wilcox, a couple of weeks ago. She thought there were about 100 jobs.
Yeah.
She couldn't be sure, but there's about 100 jobs. I spoke to Laura Godian, who said that in her department there's about 125 jobs in the care sector. Mm. And you think, there you go, there's 200-plus jobs. Mm. And there must be lots of factories that are short manpower, staffing levels, and you just think, why don't we just start a big campaign, start the ball rolling and say, look, let's announce that there's 3,000 jobs, but we'll wait until they say that there's 3,000 people that are claiming, you know, for money or whatever, and you just think, come on, let's introduce those people, or at least point them in the right direction.
Yeah.
And the strange thing is you ask anybody that is... wanting a job, you ask anybody that's got a job already, would you know where to go? In my day, Job Centre was down the high street, and you tiptoed upstairs, you picked up a card. Yeah. I've got no idea where it is now. My wife told me,
probably on Facebook.
Don't you worry. Yeah, it probably is. But it's all right if you're on Facebook, isn't it? My wife said, don't you worry, I know where it is. So if ever you're out of work, I'll be driving you there. Yes. So it's not a problem. That's great, but we got to know where it is.
Yeah.
And if we don't know, so my point is this: if there's 3,000 jobs and 3,000 people unemployed, I'm just plucking figures out of the air.
Yeah.
How do we know where to go for those jobs? Where do we really? Because let's be honest, if you've been in work for so long, I'm just thinking of those poor so and so's that are at Island Roads. You know, at some point, I hope not, but in 10, 15 years' time, when they say, well, hang on a minute, we've almost completed the contract, we don't know what's going to happen from here on in, your time comes to an end.
Yeah.
Well, that's a worry.
Let's
be ready.
We will be ready, and we'll be talking years before to staff.
That's
and,
good
and
to know.
Future. And look, you know, it's no secret, is it? We can talk. We know the contract's a contract. We know the day it's going to end. We can't, you know, let's not pretend we don't know these things. And our staff that are working for Island Roads, delivering as best they can under difficult circumstances, we'll be aware of that, and we'll be talking to them, and because by the day, you know, we will have something in place. I don't know what that is, but we will have something in place, either back to the Isle of Wight Council Highways Department or a contracted option by other providers.
Okay, brilliant. I think I said this last time you came in. There's certain roads that are fabulous, and I do like the new system up around the hospital way. So
it's
many
not
people
too
are.
Bad, is it?
I think it works, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it really works. I mean, you might get stuck at a set of lights every day, but you're not there long. You know, it's you're there for that length of time, and that's it. It's even when they had the county show the other week, when it was quite busy along that particular road, you weren't in the queue for long.
Yeah.
And I remember being in the queue for, you know, going back
long
in
time.
Time for a long time.
Yeah,
yeah, your car tax run out and so on. You took a flask of tea with you. You know, But what's you mentioned a couple of other elephants in the room. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
They're not really. This one's not. Well, maybe this is a little baby calf elephant. But of course, the government insisted that we engage with our bus providers, and that we enter into a bus service improvement plan. So lovely government speak, let's do that. Well, we did that, and then we were instructed as part of that to form an enhanced partnership with our bus providers. Well, for us on the island, it's mainly Southern Vet. There's a couple of community bus operators, but mainly Southern Vet this. With the promise of, it was £3.2 billion pounds that you would bid against. So we did all that, did the improvement plan, long time discussing with Southern Vectors what we could do to improve the offer, routes, timings, you know, all this kind of stuff. The pot of money was halved to £1.8 million, a billion, sort of overnight, so same amount of people, half the money. And then eventually the island got absolutely zero. So we went through the whole process.
Wow, what a waste of time.
Yeah, well, waste of time. Really, really difficult to now deliver some of those improvements in buses. And this is vital because actually the forward journey, it's not necessarily a day, but this is coming. We have got to encourage more use of other types of travel than single car journeys, even if they're electric cars. We've got to find a different way, and one of the ways to do it is build better cycleways. People get on their bikes, they already are. Concerns about fuel costs, get on your bike, and you're saving, you know, quite considerable increased costs on fuel. But that's no good if you're trying to fight your way through traffic or on roads that are not very good. If we've got nice cycleways, people will use them. It's very important. Same for buses. If you know, if you put buses out running around our island at reasonable times and reasonable gaps in between them, people will use them. If you don't, they won't, and they'll stay in the car.
Yeah, so we've got to find something. I would imagine the last 2 years have been, you know, they've hampered us. They've put us back a period of time. But we've got to find something. People talk about, you know, the trams and things like that. And that's great. And, connecting up the train to a few more towns and so on. That's going to cost money. It's going to take a bit of time. How well do you think, I mean, we're running out of time, but do you think the Beryl thing is working?
Yeah, Beryl's working. Beryl's working. There'll be e-bikes as well coming. I mean, electric bikes. You've got one on site here, as you know, are tried and tested. We don't need to trial those. They're coming. The school has really, really calmed down. That first year, we had a few hundred complaints.
Yeah.
Some from serial complainers. I don't mean that in any disrespectful way, but some people were complaining quite often because their experiences were experiencing more than one event. But since the start of this year, and Beryl certainly refused hire to a number of people, persistent offenders, and it's died down since January this year. We've had less than 10 complaints.
That's good. It's almost like it's kind of the novelty bit to
that's
it has
gone.
Worn off. Now people are using them.
And we can see it. You know, they got Beryl have the data because they know where the scooters are. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we know that we've got now serious hirers using them daily for things like travel to and from the station and the terminals. This was the exact reason that we saw this as alternative transport means.
Brilliant. I mean, that sort of thing, you know, we look at and think, okay, we're thinking ahead, we're trying different things, and at least we're doing that, which is a good thing, because as I say, we all know what the problems are. Sometimes you can't get from A to B very quickly, so we just need to, I don't know.
We need to rethink, Ian. We've got to rethink.
We do, yeah. But it's good to know that you're out there, Phil, doing, you know, trying different things. It really is. Hey, look, we've run right out of time. We've got to get out, because obviously other people are coming in, and they're going to clean down and so on. We come back again after the
No, I'd love to, Ian, as always. You know, I said this before and I'll keep saying it, you what you do here is remarkable in our community, and I'm happy to support however I can.
Thank you,
and
Phil.
And if just coming in and talking to you is some support, I know you want some money, but I'll see what I can do on that, but I'm happy to come and support at
Well,
least.
Can you do the tea time show for us?
Yes.
That'll be a support.
Yeah.
Thanks, Phil.
I'll spend you some 60s discs.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Take a care of yourself. Thank you very much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ian.